May 2nd, 2019, 7:31 in the morning. I'm in the tiny house. I'm about to leave and go head out to Starbucks and do the work. And this morning I've been meditating on scriptures and in prayer before the Father about sorrow. I've been really trying to understand more about what exactly it is I'm feeling. I keep kind of asking myself every day, like, is this, you know, what is this? Is this depression? You know, and of course it's not depression. It's not debilitating. It is, and what I've learned is the Lord's been showing me scriptures. It's about sorrow. And I think that for most of my Christian life, almost all of it, I've never had this consciousness so much of sorrow as something that could be separate from suffering. I think I've always thought about difficulties and heartache as suffering. So whenever I went to the scriptures, it was always to look for scriptures on suffering, tribulation, adversity, these kind of things, not sorrow. And so over the last few weeks, I've been having these very, you know, I would say I'm perplexed, but not in despair. This is the greatest understanding I have so far of what I'm going through, is that I'm not in despair, but I'm sorrowful. And it's obvious to everybody around me. My mom came last night while I was laying on the couch at 7:30. And she came to me. I was reading the Bible and she said, "Jesus loves you." I said, "I know it says so right here." And I pointed, you know, to my tablet. And she said, "But so does your mother." And she leaned down and gave me a kiss. And this is, of course, you know, very unusual for my mom. My mom is not very affectionate. I mean, it's not out of the ordinary. It's not, I mean, it is out of the ordinary behavior, but it's not like out of this world for her to do something like that. But I could see that that's her way of trying to comfort me, and bless her heart. She's doing much better than she would have in the past. Even she said it the other day that years ago, she would have been trying to fix this and, "Come on, guys, get with the program and what's going on." And now she's learning to just trust and let go and let God. And so you can see this is having a good work even for my mom. The fact that we are in her house and my mom and stepfather are seeing two people that are really one person in particular that's suffering. Persis, not so much. She seems to be, you know, doing just fine. And hers is just about, you know, getting the guidance that she needs to go wherever she's planning on going. But I'm in deep sorrow. Again, not in despair. But my energy level is down. My desire to speak is down. I have several friends, Gary, Timothy, Elvin, Jared, and a few other people that I probably should reply to a little bit more regularly. And I can't right now. Carol Ann wanted to do a Skype call with me on Sunday. I forgot about it. I don't feel like talking to anybody. The messages that are coming in, you know, I'm barely able to reply. And I go, "Wow, I should make a message to that person," but I can't because it would come off in sorrow. I'm not able to put down the sorrow anymore. I was able to do this a few weeks ago, but it's gotten accelerated to the point where the sorrow is more on me. And it's, if somehow or another, it's not a bad thing. And this is what has been so interesting to me, is that my whole life has always been about, you know, feeling good. And therefore, this kind of carried into my Christianity, that if your Christianity was good, if you're good with God, you should feel good. And now I find, you know, that when these times of very difficult or when I'm feeling downcast would come, it would be like, "Wow, this is wrong. I got to get rid of this." And so I think the Lord is doing a deep work in my heart even more, where I'm becoming accepting of the sorrow and not wanting it to just go away. Like, so many of us want to just have sorrow and run away from it. Like, "Get this out of here. This is no good." And, you know, other people want to say, "Oh man, you'll go into a depression. You know, don't feel sorrowful." And yet, when I looked up the scriptures on sorrow, I'm not going to repeat them now, but just thinking of Jesus Christ being in the Garden of Gethsemane, where a dreadful sorrow has come upon him, or Paul talking about it, he was, you know, in deep sorrow and anguish over several things, and you know, sorrowful yet rejoicing. You see, if you start studying sorrow, you see it shows up in all kinds of places, and it's not a disease to be afraid of or a condition to be operated on. And I think that God is showing me this. And again, this is what's so perplexing, is that I'm sorrowful, yet I'm not in despair. Like, I'm not in despair. I can't even explain this, how amazing this is. I can't put into words. Like, I'm so sad about my wife. You know, I was sitting in Starbucks yesterday, and I found this one song that I actually heard on contemporary Christian radio program. I think the guy's name is Corey Asbury. I think. I don't know for sure. I think his name is that. And I found this song by him, and I started to play it. Yes, you know, I've heard it so many times, and I really like it. I don't like very much contemporary Christian music, but I really liked this song. And I started to play it, and I thought, I'm going to buy this song. It's now on MusicBed. I'm going to use this song to place as the track underneath of some of my favorite clips of Persis and I to end the first video that I do that explains the Lord takes away and how the Lord has taken away my wife and how she has fallen away from faith in Christ. And I saw these video scenes over top of this song, and man, it immediately overcame me, and I started to weep, and my eyes started getting wet, and I'm in Starbucks, and I'm like, no, I cannot do this. And I started to resist and resist and resist, but that sorrow is there. And again, yet I'm not in despair. And so how I would know if I was in despair is if I were sitting around sulking, and I feel like I could not do anything. And see, I don't feel that. Even with having sinus, allergies are starting to kick up. It's not the yellow pollen that bothers me. It's this grass pollen and stuff that's coming out, and it's starting to affect me, and the headaches and all that. And that makes me be tired. But I like, for example, I'm getting ready to leave, and with joy, I'm going to go and do the work that Father's asked me to do. I realize that my wife's very salvation and resurrection from the dead is dependent upon my obedience to do what God has asked me to do. It's very clear. You know, persevere. You must finish the will of God. Then, after you have completed your work He's done, after you've done the will of God, you will receive what is promised. And so I am going to go and do that. And you know, if I see somebody, like the most joy I've had in the last week and a half has been when I saw Steve, Pastor Steve Mercer, who I've known for years on and off through Starbucks. And he and I have just always had a connection. And many times he would be down and he would see me and I'd be up, and he would ask me, Mike, you're always up. Do you ever have bad days? And I'd say, yeah, I do. I just don't stay there long. But it's ironic that now I'm sorrowful, and I hadn't seen him in a while, and he came walking in Starbucks the night before last. I was there working, and I just jumped up, excitement, gave him a big old bear hug, talked to him, and then I saw him the next day as well. And both times, I lost my sorrow seeing him, and I was filled with joy, and just there's something special about this guy. I don't even know him super, super, super well. But we know each other over a long period of time. We both went through a terrible divorce. We both have been remarried. You know, this guy's got such a sweet heart for God, and he's maintaining his faith in Him over a long period of time. And an opportunity has arisen for him that was a blessing, that I felt was a blessing and for him, and was excited for him. But that is the most joy I have felt. And I even told him the night before, I openly told him, I said, brother, my wife, you wouldn't believe it. She fell away from the faith. I mean, I feel so much difficulty in even trying to explain that to somebody, but he understands, you know. And I'm like, well, how would I explain a 2.5 year story in 5 minutes to somebody? But so I felt that, and I have those moments. Like right now, I'm not in despair, but as soon as I turn the recording off and I get back in my car, you know, I'll be in that place of sorrow where I'm not overly joyful. I'm not overly happy. I am rejoicing in the Lord. I am thanking Him. But a lot of the feeling is just sorrow. Sorrow in everything. And I'm not trying to fight it. And I said, the Lord, I told the Lord this morning, I said, Father, you know, teach me how to see this. I said, Lord, if I'm not being faithful and if I'm, you know, being downcast and I shouldn't, God, you know, let me know, Father, please. And I feel like the Lord is not showing me that at all, that this sorrow has a good purpose in it. You know, I mean, did God condemn Jesus for his sorrows? When the Bible says in Hebrews that he was heard because while he was on earth, he offered up many loud cries with tears. Did God look down upon him and say, come on, toughen up, kid. Go save the world. What about Paul saying, you know, I warned you. Remember how for 3 years I never stopped warning you day and night in tears. You know, and you see all kinds of accounts of sorrow. And I told him, I said, Lord, you know where it says in I believe it's 2 Corinthians 4, when he begins to speak of being in Asia, they were under such distress that they despaired even of life, far beyond their ability to endure, that they were in such despair. And I said to the Lord this morning, I said, God, I'm not despairing of life. I'm better off than Paul was in that situation. And I just said, God, thank you for that. Thank you for that. So I have a lot that I can thank God for, even in this sorrow. And, you know, my mom, she keeps worrying about it. And I'm like, Mom, just let it go. I've been praying, God, don't let my mom get in the way and go try to talk to Persis and be the savior in this deal. Lord God, let her keep her natural hands and natural mind and natural heart off of this. And just let it be what you want it to be. And, you know, I'm trying not to get in the way at all. I mean, I'm totally checked out. I try to avoid her. Let God do his thing with her. And, you know, last night she made some pasta and she came over and she smiled because she always does. Even if she's hurting, she's going to smile. But she came over and in the living room, she said, this is, you know, done if you want some. And I said, oh, thank you. But I ended up not eating any. So my sorrow is okay. And the Bible says that God comforts the downcast. I saw that. And, you know, I'm not feeling comforted yet. But I'm not in despair. God's not allowing me to get into despair over this. That is a work of the Holy Spirit. God is amazing to me that I can experience this sorrow in my heart and literally feel sad. I'm not depressed. I'm not focused on it. I'm not like, oh, I can't believe this is happening to me. No, it's not that kind of a sorrow. It's like an unspoken sorrow. It has no words to it. I'm sorrowful that my wife has lost her faith in Christ. I'm sorrowful that the devil has stolen her from me. I'm sorrowful that I have lost the love of a wife. I love her. I have affection for her. I saw her in the kitchen the other day, and it was all I could do to stop myself from just... I've been having these temptations to go up to her and hold her and hug her and kiss her. You know, like, but I have to remind myself, she's not there anymore. She's not that same person. And I don't want to do anything to get in the way. And so this creates sorrow. I'm down. But I'm not out. Struck down, but not destroyed. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Perplexed, but not in despair. Those words mean so much to me. I can understand them better now than I ever have. And I'm so thankful for it. So I praise God. I praise Him. I am rejoicing. Sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. I am rejoicing that God is keeping me from despair. That God is doing this good, lowly work in my sorrow. And that sorrows, as one quote says, sorrow comes to stretch out spaces in the heart for joy. There's a school in sorrow. There's things to learn. And I don't want to escape it. I don't want to just run from the school. I don't want to, you know, stunt the growth of the spaces that are being increased in my heart for joy. And I sat here this morning and I said, God, nothing is impossible for you. I said, God, you could raise up my wife, bring her back to the truth, God, and turn her into a teacher because she is so gifted You could turn her into a teacher to teach people not to fall away from the faith and to tell her testimony about how she fell away from the faith. You know, I can say right now in this recording, the greatest joy that God could give me that I'm aware of on this earth right now would be to give me my wife back in fullness of Christ with a testimony that basically reverses everything the devil had done in her life and in our marriage up to this point. And then for her to tell the rest of the story, which is the bigger part of the story, about how she walked away from the truth slowly and how the devil enticed her as she went looking for meaning for her own life and couldn't find exactly what she was looking for in the Bible, she began to look outside of it for wisdom, and the devil caught her and drug her farther and farther and farther away from the truth. I would be so delighted if God would do that. That is the desire of my heart. I'm going to start praying for it. In the name of Jesus Christ, God, I ask you, Father, to please grant me this desire of my heart. This desire, I believe, comes from you. God, what a glorious testimony, Father. It is clear that you bring sorrows to stretch out spaces in the heart for joy. God, what joy, what space I would need in this heart, God, to contain the joy of seeing something like that happen. God, that would be truly remarkable. It would be the greatest answer to prayer perhaps I've ever seen in this life. It would be the greatest amount of joy that I've ever seen, Father, even more joyful, Father, than to have received her the first time. Would be to receive her back. This son of mine was once dead and now he's alive. I could say this wife of mine was once dead is now alive. Oh, Father, in the name of Christ Jesus, Lord, let it be, Father, that my wife comes back from the dead, Lord, with a testimony, with understanding, spiritual light and understanding, God, and you would give her and grant her great understanding on how she was led astray. You would grant her great repentance and sorrow and a great spirit of redemption, Father, to redeem this broken story and to turn around and warn other people and to encourage others who maybe have family members who've walked away. But Father, to be an encouragement in the name of Christ. Help her, Father. Help her in Jesus' name. Oh, God, I thank you for this, Lord. In Jesus' name, may your will be done. I would be so blessed, and I could see how I would not want to shortcut the work of sorrow, stretching out spaces in my heart, because I would want to be able to contain all of that joy. That would be remarkable, unspeakable, indescribable joy to see God do something like this. And with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. You know, right now, I literally have a walking dead person that's in this house with me at my parents' house. She's alive only in the sense of being a human being spiritually. She is 100% dead in the marriage. Her love is dead. Our marriage is dead. Her idea of God is dead. Everything is dead. She is gone. The woman I married is no longer there. And that again gives me more sorrow when I've been watching these videos and doing what God's asked me to do, telling this story. I'm confronted every moment with images of the wife who once was, who no longer is, but who again once will be in Jesus' name. I believe God for his will. I've surrendered her fully. I've said, God, I have no desire of my own. I've gotten to that place, and yet God has spoken resurrection, resurrection, resurrection. The devotionals have had resurrection all over them for weeks about resurrection, life. And every time I see the word resurrection, I'm thinking of my God raising my wife from the spiritually dead. I know that God can do this. In Jesus' name, I know he can do this. Now it's just a matter of waiting and being obedient to do what he's asked me to do until he is pleased.